One of the special things that I can remember from high school years was a pastor that came to be a part of our small town, small community church. His name was Bill Henderson. Now, some of you in this room and in this part of the world grew up, if you grew up here, around the name of someone else named Billy Henderson. That was Coach Billy Henderson. I'm talking about who I knew as Brother Bill Henderson. Our church in Mount Hope, Alabama would go through times where we would have new pastors and we would have someone who would come and fill in. And as a young guy, Brother Bill showed up one day and kept showing up. And Brother Bill, in my mind at that time, I thought had to be in his 80s. Now, being 57, I think now maybe he was just 57. I don't know. He seems so old. And he was small of stature. He would lean on the, we called it the pulpit. He'd lean there on that and look over with his glasses on. And the first thing he would say over and over, week after week, he would lean over and he would say, repeat these words after me. And I'd look up at him and I thought, that was different. That's new. And he would say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We'd all say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And he'd say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. We'd all repeat that after him. And then he'd keep leaning there and he'd look around and just a smile on his face. He'd say, bless the Lord, O my soul. It's bless the Lord, O my soul. He said, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. And I remember on many Sundays, that was the most special part of the whole time that I was there as a teenager. There was something kind, there was something genuine, there was something life-giving in that moment. I don't remember him ever saying where those verses were found. And I just remember learning those verses and how, in a way, disappointed I would be on those Sundays when he showed up and he didn't ask us to repeat those verses after him. I think it was the fact that Brother Bill seemed to really believe those verses. Brother Bill seemed to really live from those verses. And when he asked us to repeat the words, bless the Lord, O my soul, he was genuinely saying, from my soul, I'm blessing the Lord. And the realness of those moments just struck deep in my heart. I can remember reading through the Psalms at some point and coming to a place in Psalms and seeing a psalm start with, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And immediately, the first thing in my mind was not, those are the words of King David. I would say to myself, those are the words of Bill Henderson. I've heard those words before. And it is my great delight today to invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 103. And at Psalm 103, we get the words of Brother Bill Henderson. We get the words that were first written by King David. Words of life, words that are genuine. And Psalm 103 today is our next psalm in our study through the book of Psalms. And at Psalm 103, by the time you work through all 22 of these verses, there is an impression that I get in my heart that God seems to continually be driving home as we work through the Psalms, and especially as we work through the last third of these Psalms, from Psalm 100 all the way to Psalm 150. And here's the impression. Here's the big idea. And it's this: wholehearted praise. Wholehearted praise is our Heavenly Father's design for us and our Heavenly Father's desire for us. I'll say that again. Wholehearted praise is our Heavenly Father's design for us, and it is His desire from us. God has made you to praise Him with His whole heart, with your whole heart. God has a desire from you. You might even think this morning, whatever age you're in, whatever season of life you're in, I wonder, what does God really want from me? What does God really want me to do? What's the task list today? What's the do's today from the preacher? What is it that God's after? And Psalm 103 shows us again that what God wants more than anything from us is wholehearted praise. He made you for it. In fact, that's why you read in the New Testament the verse that says that if we don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. He desires our praise. He wants your life. He wants your words. He wants your ways to be worship of Him with your whole heart. With your whole heart. Now let me make some contrast and some comparisons with the Psalms that we've already worked through this summer. Psalm 101, Psalm 102, now we are at Psalm 103. Psalm 101 was a psalm for a person's first day. It kind of set up as being your first day of anything. Maybe this is your first year of fatherhood. Psalm 101 is for you. It is a psalm of first. You're going into something for the first time. Here's a way to live. Here's a pattern for living. Here's a code of conduct for what's ahead. Psalm 101 was for a person's first day. Psalm 102, last week we saw, seemed to be a psalm for someone who might envision it being their last day. There was a lot of pain. There was a lot of heartache. There was a lot of suffering and affliction in Psalm 102. Psalm 101, a psalm for your first day. Psalm 102 for your hard day. Psalm 103 is a psalm for every day. It is a psalm if you're trying to figure out, where do I start my Monday? Where do I start my Wednesday? Where do I start my Friday? Where do I start the first day of July? Where do I start the first day of the new year in 2025? Psalm 103 is a psalm for every day. Psalm 102 that we looked at last week was a psalm for a time of affliction. Psalm 103 is a psalm for a time of adoration. I said last week, and I want to say it again, it's not original with me in any way, but it speaks to our hearts that most of the Bible speaks to us. Psalms speaks for us. And when we're looking for words, when we're in times of pain, Psalm 102 is one of those examples that come together and put into the words from our heart what we want to put before the Lord. Psalm 103 is a psalm of praise. And when we're trying to figure out, how do we adore God? How do we worship Him? How do we show our affection for Him? Psalm 103 gives us the words to put before Him in praise. Psalm 103 is one of two psalms that we see this summer written by King David. And it is a powerful psalm for a unique reason. It is a psalm that makes no request. There is not a single ask of the Lord in this psalm. Have you ever tried to pray without asking God something? It can be hard. And we start off talking about how good he is and not too many breaths. We're right in there saying, and because of this, God, would you, can you, will you? And certainly we're invited to present our request before the Lord. But Psalm 103 shows us also how to pray to the Lord without asking him anything. And that's the way it is. In 22 verses, King David makes he doesn't make a single request. But he does do three things I want to show you in Psalm 103 that relates to wholehearted praise. Number one, King David reacts to the blessings of the Heavenly Father. Let's look at this psalm. Psalm 103, the first couple of verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The first two verses of Psalm 103, we see King David reacting to the blessings of the Heavenly Father. Remember that these words would have been written by King David. These words would have been used as a prayer or put to music. And for there to be a song, there has to be something written. And for it to be written, it has to flow from a person's mind and heart. And this psalm at the very beginning, it just erupts. It just overflows. It is an explosion of the heart that begins with this word praise or bless. And he says, bless Yahweh, bless the Lord, O my soul. And that phrase, O my soul, it's not bless the Lord, my soul. It is not bless the Lord, period. It is bless the Lord, O my soul. There's significance to that in that it is showing David's emotion, this David's explosion from his heart, a reactionary of being in relationship with God. Something happens, something comes out of him, something erupts from him, and it just begins with, bless the Lord, oh my soul, from the depths of who I am, from the core of who I am. You've had the experience of digging around in dirt. Maybe you're going to plant a bush or you're going to sink a post. And as you dig down into that soil, all of a sudden you find out that something's already there under pressure. And you all of a sudden find yourself sinking that shovel into the dirt. And almost immediately as your shovel goes in, water explodes out. And you've thought to yourself, I should have called before I dug, or whatever the saying is. And there it is. It's just erupting from the soil. It's just exploding from the dirt. And when the dirt was peeled back and you broke into the pressure there, that's what comes out. And that's the picture here you get in Psalm 103, that as he sits before the Lord, he goes before the Lord, he says, oh my soul. And then notice the odds, and all that is within me, every cell, every part, every breath, every thought, praise you, Lord, from my soul with all that is within me. And then verse 2, bless the Lord again, O my soul, forget not how many of his benefits, all his benefits. He said, Lord, don't let there be any forgetfulness of any way that you have blessed me. There's a word, benefit. We get our, it's the same kind of word when we speak of benevolence. It is what comes to us from grace. It is what comes to us when we don't deserve it. It's a benefit. It's an extra. It's a goodness. And he's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. How do you react when the pressure's on, when you're squeezed? What comes out when you break through into your heart? What do you find in your heart and soul today? Do you find in the core of your soul, in the core of your heart, is there in there worship of a God that has been so beneficial to you? We have this experience from time to time as empty nesters now, where we get word that our kids are coming in, especially think of this when our boys come home, whether it's Graham or Connor or Wilson, who's here today, and it, especially for some reason, I have this image of Connor and Wilson. And it is this image of when we hear they're coming, there's always something we do before they come. And some of you know what that is. We go to what? I heard it. You go to the grocery store. It's so funny. And we're all on the same page here today. We go to the store and we fill the cabinets. And I have this particular image of Connor before he was married, coming home from school, and him walking to the cabinets, and he just walks to the cabinets, and he just, our cabinets are like, you grab them with both hands and you can open them like this, and I see Connor just standing there like this, just staring. I said, Connor, you all right? There's so much food here. There's so much food here. And it was like, this is amazing. I'm like, Connor, you got grocery stores where you live. I know, but it's not in my cabinets. And it was like this sense of like, there's just this abundance here. And that's the picture that King David, as he exposes his heart and he sees his relationship with the Lord, he's just like, there's so much here. There's so much good here. Down in my soul, down in my heart, and he reacts to the blessings of the Heavenly Father. Here's the second thing he does. He recalls the blessings of the Heavenly Father. And as he reacts, thinking about what's in his soul, as he thinks about the benefits that God has bestowed upon him, he makes this statement, let us not forget all of these benefits. He begins to recall them. And from verse 3 down through verse 19, he recalls the blessings of the Heavenly Father, and he begins to list them out, and he begins to give commentary on them, an explanation of them. Some of you, he says, let us forget not all his benefits. We see the word benefit. If you work a job or have a salary job, you probably had some point where you went looking or you went asking about that job, what are the benefits? What are the benefits of this job? I know what my salary is, but what are the benefits? What comes with this? What's extra with this? You hear of things, whether it's health insurance or retirement or vacation. And you begin to think about these things that are added on to what you're receiving. And King David begins to recall the benefits of his relationship with God. You remember singing that song, Count Your Blessings? Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. That's what Psalm 103 is. It is King David counting his many blessings. He's seeing what God has done. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about the fact that your relationship with God has benefits? Your relationship with your Heavenly Father has benefits. And it's a good thing for you to remember those, know those, celebrate those, enjoy those. And he begins to lay those out. They're kind of two categories. He remembers the benefits of God and his relationship with him according to God's actions, and then secondly, according to God's attributes. Verses 3 through 5, he speaks of God's actions. It might have impact if you looked at verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, and actually underline what it is that God does, what his actions are. In the ESV, they all begin with the word who. He says, forget not all his benefits. What are they? It says, who forgives? who heals, who redeems, who crowns, who satisfies. What are the benefits of you being in a relationship with God? You're in a relationship with a God that forgives you. You're in a relationship with God who heals you. You're in a relationship with God who satisfies you. You're in a relationship with God who redeems you, who crowns you. Those are actions of God. Now, as we work through these verses, look at what he says. Here's what he's celebrating. He says he forgives all your iniquity. To forgive means to release from, to set free, to pay the debt. And our iniquity creates debt. For the wages of sin is death. Who pays that wage? He speaks to us. He says, God forgives. He forgives your sin. Who heals all your diseases? Is he speaking of physical diseases, spiritual disease? You can make an argument for both. But the picture is here of a God that knows of disease. He sees our diseases, and he is able to heal all our diseases. Does he have a sovereign plan? Does he work in our time? He does have a sovereign plan. He works on his time and on his purposes. God is a God who is one who redeems your life from the pit. What does that mean? He means from the pit is a picture of being at the very edge of death. And he says God rescues, he redeems, he makes it valuable. He takes back what is his. He crowns. He makes us royalty. With what? He makes us like royalty with his steadfast love and with his mercy. He satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know when you feel your youngest? You know when you feel your strongest? When you look around in your life and you see good. When you see good, you experience something good. And he said, that's what my relationship with God is like. He just keeps coming through with good. And I'm satisfied in him. It's renewing to me. I think it's one of the reasons that what happens with us when we gather in a gathering of worship like this, we walk away from the room stronger, encouraged, ready for the week. Why? Because in a gathering like this, through singing, through the teaching of the word, through fellowship with others, we're reminded of the good things that God has done. And when we're reminded of the good things that God has done, he renews us. He gets us ready to fly again in the week ahead. Those are his actions. Attributes. He speaks of the attributes of God. Now, every one of these, you could just take a whole sermon or a whole week or a whole year and talk about them, but he just states them. Let's just look at them. Let's just say them in the room. The attributes we see here, he says in verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. The first two attributes you see of God is that he is righteous and that he is just. That means he does things that are right, and he does things that are fair. He is righteous. He is just. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. An attribute of God is that he is knowable. Think about that. He's so personal that he's knowable. We can know him, and he knows us. One of the most life-altering books I ever read was a book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. And I remember reading through those pages, just beginning to see how Scripture teaches about who God is. He's righteous, he's just, he's knowable. Look in verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You know that verse in Psalm 103, verse 8, is a is a quote from Exodus 34:6. And you see from Israel's history that God had revealed who he was to the people. And that definition, that knowledge, that revelation of who God is keeps showing up in Scripture. It's already shown up in Psalms before. It shows up here again. And King David is praising the fact that God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. So he's righteous, he's just, he's knowable, he's merciful. That means that he withholds from us what we actually deserve. The wrath of God. He's merciful. He's gracious. He pours out on us what we don't deserve. His goodness. And he says he's slow to anger. And aren't we thankful for that? Are we thankful that he would be slow to anger? When I think back over my life, when I think back over my year, when I think back over my week, and I think, Lord, it's a good thing to know that you're a God that is slow to anger. You're slow to anger. And he's abounding in steadfast love. It's so awesome to see that when it describes God's love, that it's not God is loving. He's abounding in steadfast love. That's the benefit that King David is seeing in his relationship with God. Then he begins to give commentary. I believe what you find from verse 9 down through verse 19 in many ways is just commentary on the attributes that he's already described. God is righteous, he's just, he's knowable, he's merciful, he's gracious, he's slow to anger, he's abounding in steadfast love. And then you begin to see how he abounds in steadfast love. How does he show his mercy? It says in verse 9, he will not always chide. Any of you use the word chide this week? It's a good biblical word. It means that he does not hold on to grievances against us. He doesn't always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. God's wrath and anger can be satisfied. He will not always chide. He will not keep his anger forever. That's speaking of his mercy and his grace. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Hallelujah. That we see the ugliness of our sin, the putridness of our sin. I think of a song that we sing here from time to time that starts with just the phrase, I was a wretch. I was a wretch. And here he's saying he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. He uses this picture of immeasurable distance. How much does God love you? Can we put is it an ounce? Is it a pound? Is it 7 tons worth? How much does God love you? Today, as you sit in this room, dads, how much does God love you? He says, I'm going to try to measure it. This is how much God, he says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. Let me ask you, how high is the heaven? Just think about it for a minute. 150 miles, 1.5 trillion to the 100th power. Every year we get some report of a new satellite that is out there and has been going for a long time. And we're now receiving pictures back. It's pretty phenomenal, isn't it? What you see of the galaxies. Do you know what we haven't heard? What we haven't heard is we haven't gotten anything back from any satellite that has gone into the heavens that said, just hit a wall. Just found it. I found the end of the universe. I found the end of the heavens. I always think one day we're going to get this satellite picture back, and looking right back at that satellite are going to be these two big eyes. And God is just saying, found me. No, he's, what the psalmist is saying, what King David is saying, is that you look into the universe and God's abounding love, that's how much he loves you. It's immeasurable. Hallelujah. Then he says, as far as the east is, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Have you sinned? Have you done something wrong? Do you remember those sins maybe that you noticed when you trusted Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you have a before Christ, after Christ testimony, even this week or last week? Our sins, what's he do with them? What's God do with them? He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Remember his actions back up. He says, let us not forget all his benefits. The very first thing King David mentions was, who forgives all your iniquity. King David knew what sin was. King David had committed sin. It's recorded for all of eternity there. But how does God use those sins against David? How does God respond to David with those sins? Here's what David knows. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. He knows that he has been forgiven. And the testimony for you and for me is this. When we turn to Jesus Christ for forgiveness, what's he do? He removes our sin. He removes them. And why does he use east from west? Why wouldn't he say as far as the north is from the south? Here's the insight, the knowledge of Scripture. Because there is a point where you can go to the north. There is a north pole. And there is a point where you can go to the south. There is a south pole. But have you noticed there is no east pole and there is no west pole? In fact, if you're going east and you're going to go all the way as far east as you can go, you will be going for the rest of your life. Because the pure definition of east is the opposite of west. And the pure definition of west is the opposite of east. And he's saying that how far does he remove our transgressions from us? Go looking for them. And you won't find the debt anymore. It's not there. That's the power of the blood of Christ. God does not file your sins away. God removes the debt of your sin. You're not living for a day wondering if God's going to bring that back up again. You know who does that? The accuser. The accuser. What about that? What about that? What about that? Here's your answer. I've been forgiven, and my sin has been removed by the blood of Christ. David reacts to the blessings of his heavenly Father. He recalls the blessings of his heavenly Father. And number three, he recruits others to come and celebrate the blessings of the Father. Look at verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He starts off at the beginning, bless the Lord, O my soul. He goes through the benefits of God, and he gets to verse 20. You know what he does? He recruits others to join him in praise. King David's building a choir. He's like, join me, bless the Lord, O you his angels. Not just my soul, but angels in heaven. Get in on this. You mighty ones who do his word. he said, you servants of the Lord, you're his angels, obeying the voice of his word, those that he's created to be his messengers and his servants. Then verse 21, bless the Lord all his host, his ministers who do his will. Again, speaking to the heavenly courts of those that attend to the Lord. Read Revelation, you see those heavenly hosts, you see those angels. And he says, bless the Lord all his works in all places of his dominion. He's saying, let all creation, so it's my soul is praising him, let the angels praise him, let all the heavenly hosts praise him, let everything that he's created praise him. He recruits others to come and praise him. There's a beautiful thing about praising the Lord. As you praise him and you get to know him, you know what you desire? You desire for others to come along and praise him with you. That's why the gathering of believers is so important, so encouraging, so strengthening for believers. Now, I want to ask Tim and Rebecca to come. This morning, as we think about this psalm of praise, the best thing we could do is praise him. Verse 19 of Psalm 103 says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. He is saying in praise, Lord, you've done all of this. I see all your actions. I see who you are, your attributes. And Lord, you are on the throne. You are worthy of praise. Two questions. Is there any praise in your heart for God today? Is there praise in your heart for God? Are you sharing in the blessings of God? Do you know him? When you hear of his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness and his love, the good things that he provides, does it stir in you this morning? Does it break through into your soul and leave you saying with David, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Now, I want to ask you to stand. And I want to ask you, before we sing, to do what Brother Bill Henderson did. I want to ask you to repeat these words after me. And then I invite you to worship in song. Would you repeat after me? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.